If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Like two more people who, like, what happened to the 24-hour rule?
Listen.
Look, does Matt Dean still host the show with me? Because that's been gone for almost as long.
Yeah.
We started in season five. We got rid of that because we just gave you spoiler alert. And that's where you...
Which, by the way, if you have the internet... there's no avoiding it. It's almost impossible. So, and we can't not talk about the biggest story of the day. That's water cooler talk.
Were we supposed to put a 24-hour rule on Tiger too?
Yeah, in case you recorded the Masters.
Yeah.
It was out on both Twitter and Facebook warning people, if you don't want to hear it, don't tune in right now. And I will let people know that when we are done, they can come back and listen.
Are we done? I think we are.
We're done.
Okay.
Tweet's going out now then.
All right. Where do we go now?
I don't know. That's all I had for the day.
Well, I could have done 3 hours on that and Tiger.
We could do more, but I just feel like...
No, I think we covered everything, but yeah. A lot of people have texted that they would like the recap, so I'll do one tonight and throw in a few more things that we didn't talk about off of the show, and then from now on, I'll do them Sunday night right after the show. It's going to curtail my drinking habits, but oh well.
How crazy is this this Notre Dame Cathedral? I mean, that thing's going down.
Yeah, that's a damn shame. That's a piece of history right there.
Yeah.
So,
I love our president is an expert on many things, including fighting fires. So horrible to watch the massive fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Perhaps flying water tankers could be used to put it out. Must act quickly.
Oh, God. Does he have to comment on everything?
I mean, well, listen, Fred. Everyone knew that, you know, it would have been great to have a flying water tanker at that point. And unfortunately, there wasn't one available.
How about an ice dragon? That would have put it out.
That also would have helped. But he knows more about firefighting than dragons.
I don't know what to say, man. I just wish he'd get off Twitter.
Well,
because you know what? There's some. I don't think if he would just get rid of that side, I don't think we'd be looking at him as that bad of a president right now. But oh well. Speaking of recordings, did you see Wilson's tweet blasting coverage of a nearby tornado warning during a replay of the Masters? No. I did not see that. But, hey, man, if I'm going to say tornado trumps Masters replay. So, I did. It was really a fun day because I watched the entire Masters and then one of the bars near us did like a dog day outside where they had all this. We spent way too much money on stuff for the dog, but I watched the Astros game there and then got home in time to watch the last episode of season 7 before Game of Thrones started.
Okay.
And then got Thrones and then on the Rockets, and that was it. And it was just a fun day. It was such a beautiful day outside. It is today too, by the way, but I really wanted to get outside more, but that was it. I got my 3 hours outside basically because there was too much stuff to watch on TV. It was just a perfect weekend to sit your ass on the couch. So 713-780-ESPN.
I will say what I watched of the Astros this week. They're a fun team, man. This is they're going to be really good, and I think maybe even better than I thought they were, because 1 through 9 again, like the year they won the World Series, they're hitting, and they've got capable guys 1 through 9. And last year you didn't have that, and it's refreshing, like it's how it's supposed to be. Almost no teams have strength 1 through 9. It's very rare, but it's nice to see that. I mean, that's how they won, and for them to have it right now is pretty. It's pretty good.
It's because when you have that, you can fade when 2 or 3 guys aren't hitting.
Exactly.
And I think Brantley's been a terrific addition,
no doubt,
to this team, and he's a different kind of player than than the rest of the lineup in terms of he makes contact, and I just think he's a good guy to have in the middle of the lineup. And starting pitching's been good enough. I still think playoff time, you're going to need to have a third guy.
Yeah.
And maybe that third guy becomes Forrest Whitley at some point. Maybe it's somebody you trade for. But, I think you can get by the regular season with what you have behind those guys. But get to the playoffs, I think you're going to need a third guy.
Well, and the other thing that's happening that I think is huge is all three of your MVP caliber players, Altuve, Correa, and Bregman, they're all playing. I mean, they're all healthy, and they're all playing at a high level. I mean, Bregman's not. I mean, he's basically slapping singles around, but he's getting on base, which is that's important.
He always starts slow. He'll be fine.
But Correa looks like the old Correa. Like, he's hitting the ball hard, and then Altuve is suddenly Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
So I'm liking what I'm seeing. And obviously, at some point this year, somebody's going to struggle. That's just that's what happens. That's how it always goes. But of your regulars, I mean, Chirinos is hitting 265. That's the lowest.
And boy, if you told me he's going to hit 265 all year, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Even Mariznick is hitting 346. I guess Tony Kemp struggled so far, but even with him and Diaz, both those guys, when they've played, they haven't been consistently good, but they've come up with some big hits at opportune times. So I feel like everybody's pulled their weight. I've been pleased with what I've seen from them so far. I still don't know how, and it's a long season, and they're not all going to be this hot all season long. But I still don't know how they compare to the Yankees and the Red Sox, who have had their struggles out of the gate too. But they look good, and my biggest concern is the bullpen. You know, I expected Josh James to be sharp, and he's whatever the opposite of sharp is. But Osuna and Presley look good, and I guess that's what, you know, that's your bread and butter.
Yeah, 8 and 9, you look sharp.
Yeah,
so
even Rondon's look good.
Yeah,
so
well, if he's your seventh inning guy,
yeah,
then you're okay.
But the question is always going to be, how long is Colin McHugh going to hold up? How long is Wade Miley going to hold up? You know, how long are these guys going to continue to be effective? And not only that, but how long can they continue to be effective when they're pitching 5 innings per game? You know, how long is that?
Right,
going
because
to
that's
work? Going to
start taxing the guys like James. If he's not pitching well, that's where you could run into some problems.
Yeah,
I think, you know, I'd like to see one more starting pitcher added before the playoffs. That's it. Somebody good that you can rely on, and, you know, like I said, whether that's internal or whether that's external, they do that, and I'll feel. I already felt pretty good about their chances, but. I just think that's the one thing that they don't have that they had last year.
Yep.
Because they did have McCullers for a time, and they did have Keuchel. I just want somebody a little more reliable.
All right. You want reliable? Triangle Energy. That's who's reliable. And I tell you all the time about the great rates and just no nonsense from these guys. They are going to hook you up, though. Not only is Triangle Energy bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, they're giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. Basically, the way it works is you sign up for any Power to Win electricity plan, you'll receive two Dynamo game tickets and two T-shirts, and you're going to be enrolled in a drawing, and somebody, every time the Dynamo win a home game, somebody is going to be drawn, and they're going to win free electricity for a year. Every Dynamo home win, someone gets a year of free electricity. Imagine how much money you could save there. You can enter to win by texting the word POWER to 77177, or you can visit triangleenergy.com to learn more. It's POWER to 77177, or visit triangleenergy.com. PUCT license number 10064.
The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. A couple people asking, do you think the Penguins or Lightning can come back from their 3-0 deficits? You know what? I really thought the Penguins were going to win their series. They've been totally outplayed. And coming back from 3-0 has been done, but when the Kings did it, for instance, they lost every game by like one goal. It was all tight, and then they turned that around. These two teams have been outplayed, and now Tampa's best defenseman's out. That would be a huge upset, one of the bigger ones, frankly, in hockey history, and I'm not going to be stunned if it happens. I mean, well, they're up 3-0, so... 713-780-ESPN is your number. And, man, I think there's a lot of reasons why Tampa's choking, because they usually choke. they've always done that in the playoffs. But this year, basically they were up three goals in the first game, and ever since then they've just been dominated. Is Game of Thrones talk going to be at 4:50 every Monday? Just wondering so I don't miss it again. We did 4:30, so if you want Game of Thrones talk, go to the podcast, 4:30 to 5 o'clock. So, plenty. We covered everything. And I'll cover it on Sports Map, and I'll do that one tonight when I get home.
Wanted you to have more answers than you had for me.
Well, I mean,
I expect you to know everything.
I don't. I mean, and in part because I'm really trying hard to avoid any kind of spoiler stuff.
Yeah,
this
like
year.
Fan theories and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean it's fun to speculate on some things, but yeah, last year I think that kind of ruined the whole season for me. That the people who were out there speculating had actually read the stuff,
right,
and passed it off as speculation. It turned out to be exactly what happened, and I think it kind of colored my view of the series. So I'm avoiding all that stuff. And oh, is he this so and so and this so and so? I don't care. I'm just enjoying them as they come. Let's squeeze in a call. Paul, go.
Paulie.
So, Carlos and Noah Syndergaard have the same contract situation. They're both under team control through 2021. To me, the best way for the Astros to win the World Series, they're going to have to beat possibly two or three teams with very, very good hitting, including, let's say, the Dodgers, because they seem to be the favorite in the NL. And either the Red Sox or the Yankees, probably not both of them, but one of those two, which both have monster hitting lineups. You're not going to do that with the rotation, I don't think, at least the rotation they have right now. And as you guys alluded to, the back end three starters are going to go five in the third innings, and you're going to burn out your bullpen, which is exactly what happened 2 years ago. Well, not 2 years ago, but last year and the year before, 2016, because the starters just weren't getting deep into games. Syndergaard's a hammer. Carlos Correa would play huge in New York City. You move Bregman to short, White to third, Gurriel at first, or flip them. You pick yourself up a DH, which are easy to trade for. I don't honestly think your offense loses that much. Plus, you pick up one of the Mets' top three young shortstop prospects because Correa is better than Syndergaard. I like that trade. It ain't going to happen, but I think somewhere along the line, they're going to have to get a third starter if they want to be able to beat the teams they're going to have to beat to win a World Series.
Yeah, I think at least with that particular idea, I know Noah Syndergaard's older. I don't know how much older off the top of my head. I would guess 2 or 3 years older. I don't know. You've got a guy like Carlos Correa who...
If you're trying to win a World Series, you're not trading your best pieces, even to get another good piece.
Yeah.
He's 2 years older.
And you've got enough prospects that you can...
Yeah, you don't have to trade Carlos Correa to get a player like that. And we've seen that. I mean, you know what you've got? You've got Forrest Whitley and Kyle Tucker. These guys... You trade those guys for players like that? I'm not complaining. But... If you trade Correa, you're taking a guy who can help you win a World Series right now.
Yeah, that
I don't like subtracting from that. I mean, if you're in buy mode, that's fine, but you buy players with guys who aren't helping you win today. And Carlos Correa, he's too good of a player to pull off of this team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just... If you're trying to win, that's not a move you make. You can get a third pitcher. You've got enough prospects. Somebody will become available. And like I said, maybe one of your guys that's in the minors right now becomes that third pitcher. They've got three guys they're really high on that could easily develop. So,
I mean,
giving away one of your best players to that creates another issue. And the some of the moves you're talking about make your offense worse. So,
I mean, Corey Kluber was apparently available for top-level prospects the last offseason. I can't imagine you can't get Corey Kluber now, if you really wanted to throw some real prospects at him. I mean, there's guys out, and is he as young as Noah Syndergaard? No, but has Noah Syndergaard ever been better than Corey Kluber? No. So I think you can get guys, but I'm for trading prospects, not for trading your core guys, and Carlos Correa at this point is a core guy. I was for trading Bregman for Chris Sale, 4 or 5 years ago. It wouldn't make sense now because now Bregman's a guy who's here and helping. Would I trade, Forrest Whitley or Kyle Tucker for those guys? Yeah. If you've got MLB-ready starters who can come and help you right now, yeah, I'll trade some guy from the minor league. I don't care about those guys. They might be good someday. They might not.
Yeah, and...
Carlos Correa is good.
Yeah, yeah. You don't trade your core guys. I mean, that's just kind of... Yeah, and I feel a little bad because he obviously spent a lot of time trying to come up with that.
I'll tell you what,
but
if they
not a good idea.
If you want to trade Carlos Correa to the Mets, if they'll give you Jacob deGrom, now we can have a conversation. don't give me your second best guy though.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, and So I'd be willing to trade McCullers in a prospect for an elite pitcher. In my opinion, he's not going to be as elite as people make him out to be. Guys, nobody's going to trade for...
You can't trade for a guy coming off that surgery.
No, and I like the guy a lot. I think, he's got... I've always said he's got ace stuff, and he just needs to be... he needs to be healthy. And he hasn't been able to be healthy, but you can't. That's another one.
He's more valuable to the Astros than what he would pull back in a trade.
Yeah, because almost anybody that you call, Tommy John isn't the death sentence that it used to be, but there's still been enough guys who don't come back the same that nobody's going to do that.
No.
Trade your guys that haven't screwed up yet. Remember when you wouldn't trade Derek Fisher?
Yes.
And...
If only you traded Derek Fisher for anything, for a bag of magic beans. You'd have a bag of magic beans right now, at least. Can't get that now.
No. All right. Hey, at 6 o'clock, you're going to need to put this TV on the hockey, just so you know. Leafs Bruins game 3 tonight.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Big time.
Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Sportify Expo, the largest sports fan expo in Houston, will be at the George R. Brown Convention Center on April 27th and 28th. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and a guest to meet, take photos with, and get autographs from the top Houston Astros, Texans, UFC fighters, and other pros and legends. At 5:35, we'll take caller 5 to 713-780-3776. You'll get a pair of tickets to the event. For more information and to get your tickets now, head to sportifyexpo.com. A lot of people want your take on the UFC fights this weekend.
Man, two of the best title fights you could get. I mean, that both title fights were great. Both came down to the end. Both really hard-fought, tough decisions, and I don't think you can ask for much more. Beautiful violence over the weekend. I was excited to see it. I'll be honest. I wasn't really even that jazzed about this card because it's like, man, sometimes you see these cards that it was very top heavy, first of all. But when you've got those double title fights, and granted, one of them was an interim fight. Actually, they were both interim title fights. Thank God they had them. I was like, I don't know. Sometimes these end up being disappointing, but both fights were just grade A quality violence. And congrats to Israel Adesanya and Dustin Poirier. Dustin Poirier beating Max Holloway, that's a big win. That guy's been hard to beat. Hadn't lost in I don't even know how many years. And Poirier just kind of put it on him. And Holloway had his moments, but Poirier was clearly better. Adesanya almost finished that fight late in the fifth, but that was another fight that basically came down to the last round. So good night of fights. Yeah, I'd pay for that every time.
Yeah, I did not pay for them Saturday night, and I was kind of regretting it when I was reading up on them the next
regrets.
Day.
Regrets.
Yeah, because you know, how'd they do pay-per-view wise?
I don't know yet. Well, I mean, it's a little different now because they're doing it with the ESPN Plus. I don't even know if they're planning on announcing. I assume they'll announce if it went well, and they won't if it didn't, because now it's not up to the cable companies, you know.
Right.
So I'd be eager to see how it went, though. I think it's I think there were people who had problems using the app. I didn't have any problems, but
apparently there were some issues with HBO streaming before the show last night.
Oh, really?
It had a lot of people freaked out. So yeah, that was that would not be good.
What I did, there was a like a 5-minute thing on HBO where you could watch. Basically, it was like a 5-minute recap of seasons 1 through 7.
Yeah,
and we were watching it, and it kept having to buffer, and I was like, "Oh no, what's happening here? This better not be, you know, that better not be an omen for the night."
Well, they sure trotted out a lot of previews for all their big guns before the debut last night.
Yeah,
there's a couple interesting looking shows on there that I don't know about that Big Little Pretty Little Liar, whichever liar show. I don't think I want to watch that again. But there are a couple things on there that look really interesting. So that's the time to trot them out, though. Apparently, there's some Jadeveon Clowney news for you.
Give it to me.
Clowney and the Texans are not close and aren't expected to have a deal done anytime
That's
soon.
That's not news.
So he's not going to participate in the offseason program.
Okay. I don't think that's news.
No. It's your guy Aaron Wilson reported they're not close, which I'm telling you, I would think long and hard about dealing him draft day.
Yeah.
For the right opportunity to pick up a couple of players. I would certainly think about it. It just feels to me like something the Raiders would give a small fortune for.
I would think so.
So, but we'll see.
But even if they just give a draft pick.
Yeah. And I'd take a first rounder right now for him and not think twice
no
about
doubt.
It. Because you are going to run into a problem if you pay this guy and you're paying JJ.
Yeah.
You have that money in the defensive line. Well, they've got money. I mean, they could make it work, but I just don't think he's worth Khalil Mack money. He's not Khalil Mack.
Well, and I don't.
Or Aaron Donald.
Think he's going to necessarily get that money. But I also do think, kind of how we were talking about, you know, trading away Correa, don't trade somebody who can help you win if you're in a position to win. If they are trading him away, it's basically the Texans saying, well, we're probably not winning a Super Bowl this year.
Either that or, hey, we think we can replace this guy and get better at two or three other positions that are desperate right now.
There's no rookie that's going to come in and have the impact that Jadeveon Clowney would have.
I don't know that I'd say that. I mean, it depends on how high up you go.
I mean, how high up you think he can possibly...
I don't know.
Possibly pull. I can't imagine.
If a team really thinks that, you know, I think there's two or three defensive linemen who could come in and be better than Jadeveon Clowney in this draft class.
Because I don't think that... If you are talking to the Raiders, they're not going to trade the fourth pick for Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, they'd be morons.
Well,
but if they pick
so far what they've done, and Mike Mayock, who, you know, if he gets in there, oh, we're in love with, let's give him the fourth pick for him. I'd do that in a heartbeat if I'm the Texans. And I probably get a player that's going to have just as big an impact, if not bigger. Because you're going to get one of those guys, assuming Kyler Murray goes number one. So. But now, yeah, if you're getting the 27th pick, it's a different animal.
Yeah.
You're not going to get somebody who's having that kind of impact. But, yeah, ideally, I'd like to see him re-sign him, but I also would not be the guy who wants to give him, and we've talked about that with Lance before. It's like, he seems like the kind of guy when he gets that big contract, maybe not going to be as motivated.
I could see that.
And if that's the case, man, I just don't think I would do it if I could get fair value for him or more than market value, either one. You never know. Do you really think the Raiders would get two number ones for Khalil Mack?
I didn't. But like you said, Clowney's not Khalil Mack.
No, he's not. But if somebody thinks he is,
yeah.
I'm not saying you're going to get two number ones, but maybe the Raiders are dumb enough to do that. Mm. I don't trust that organization right now. 713.
You say that, but they also found a way to get two number ones for Khalil Mack.
Yeah, but they got a nice return, but let's see what they do with him.
Yeah.
And that pick they got this year is not great. Bears had a pretty good season.
It was 27, something like that. Yeah. I mean, hell, it's still a first-round pick.
Yeah, but you're not getting Khalil Mack there.
No.
Any the other basketball impress you this weekend? Kind of...
I was surprised at some of the Eastern Conference results, obviously. But I mean, the West was about what I expected it would be. So not really. I mean, the Warriors just dominated, and the Rockets dominate. I'm still not sure what we'll see out of that Portland series. I still think there's a lot of ball to be played before. I mean, it's a good start, but I would imagine that that's going to end up being a long series. Some of these, you watch game one and you're like, okay, that series is over.
Yeah.
But I would say that the Raptors had a not so great start.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the teams that I
think they'll be fine though. I think they'll bounce back.
Yeah, I tend to think so too. I didn't expect the Sixers to get their asses whooped, but,
I thought they might lose a game or two in that series, but they didn't look very good either.
They did not. But the Milwaukee Bucks looked about how I expect them. The Bucks are going to win the East, I think. They look to be... I think, you know, all season long, everyone's been, well, they've got the best record, but are they the best team? I don't know, but they're a lot better than people want to give them credit for because they're the Milwaukee Bucks. If their jersey said Boston Celtics and they had all the same players... people would respect that team. But because they're the Milwaukee Bucks, they're not getting a lot of respect. You know, and the Pistons without Blake Griffin, that's just... the Pistons in the playoffs, period, are bad. The Pistons without Blake Griffin, they might as well not even show up.
Told you guys about 3 or 4 years ago, Clowney wasn't worth squat, and y'all left. Nobody's saying he's
not worth
a bad
squat.
Player. Yeah.
I mean, he's...
the guy's a good player. I just think that for what you're going to have to pay him...
Has he been the best defensive player on this team? Like, if you just say to look at the last 3 years?
He was the year Watt was out, I think.
I mean, but like, yeah. If you say the full last 3 years, take that full sample size, he's one of the few guys in the discussion.
Yeah.
So to say he's not worth squat,
yeah, that's,
that means you just admitted you were wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. But Rob says, doesn't him not participating in offseason workouts kind of what you're worried about with him in the big contract?
Yeah, but yeah. That's pretty standard.
Yeah. Almost anybody who's
yeah, that's
on
a guy
that
who's trying not to get hurt doing something. You know, that's no surprise.
All right.
It's not like he's missing anything anyway.
No, I mean that's the thing.
It's basically just their way of checking in to see if he's fat or what.
Yeah, which I guess we'll find out when he gets closer. But yeah, I if I'm not close to a deal though, and he wants that kind of money, I'm definitely shopping him. I'm listening. I'm taking phone calls. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hey, we're bringing back Local Music Tuesdays starting tomorrow. If you want your music showcased on the Blitz, please send an MP3 file or Spotify link for your best song to Aaron Rabold at galmedia.com. A-A-R-O-N, Rabold.
Dot Rabold.
Yeah, at galmedia.com. Please make sure the song is safe for work, a.k.a. has any swear words edited out of it. So you getting some entries?
Oh, I've got a lot of them.
Good. And we'll take all kinds. I mean, you know, I like rock, but we mix it up.
We've got some rock, we've got country, we've got hip-hop.
Cool.
So.
All right. Well, speaking of music, let's do the greatest tune ever created. It's time for the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. A bunch of people sent me some really good ideas for Gym of the Day. They tweeted them to me, and I have so many good ones that I'm going to save a couple for tomorrow. But this is my favorite for today just because it's Florida. A 75-year-old man died in Florida, which you know
it happens.
You know it's not going to be.
It wasn't that natural causes.
No. No. Apparently, the police found the man badly wounded by a cassowary, which is a large, flightless, exotic bird that he owned.
Okay.
Apparently, if you keep exotic animals and you're 75 years old and you fall down, bad things are going to happen.
Oh, no.
Cassowaries are known as the world's most dangerous bird. They said the man was probably injured by the bird's 4-inch dagger-like claws. Police are investigating.
He owns the bird?
Yeah. Well, now the bird owns him.
Yeah.
But, yes, he had apparently. The birds are native to Australia and New Guinea. And he was taken to the hospital by paramedics where he later died. Says, it looks like it was accidental. My understanding is that the gentleman was in the vicinity of the bird and at some point fell. When he fell, he was attacked. Okay, you've got a bird with dagger-like claws that you brought from New Zealand that you're breeding and you're old. And then you fall down and you wonder why the bird attacks you.
Yeah.
A woman who identified herself as the victim's partner said he died doing what he loved.
Being stabbed to death,
stabbed
by,
to death by your pet bird. Mm. Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't know anyone who's like, oh, I wish that would happen to me. That's my favorite thing to happen.
That's how I want to die, being stabbed to death by my pet bird. According to the San Diego Zoo, cassowaries can slice open any predator or potential threat with a single swift kick due to their long claws. Not traditionally raised in the U.S., but are sought after by collectors. Who collects these things?
Who collects things that can kill you? Idiots.
Well, I mean, I could kind of see if you were going to put it in your yard and have it like, go after people who steal your boxes and stuff. That would be okay.
Yeah.
But not to be in the same cage with them, right? But it's a class 2 wildlife, which can, quote, pose a danger to people, and it requires a permit for ownership. But he died doing what he loved.
Yeah.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, somebody texts in, those things are 6 foot tall, 130 pounds.
Yeesh.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the 6 foot tall. I'm worried about the 4-inch dagger-like claws.
Yeah, I'm against that.
Yeah, if you look at a picture of just their feet zoomed in on Google, it looks like a raptor foot. So some type of prehistoric bird raptor relation.
So basically now you're saying that a dinosaur banged a bird and this is what we got.
Or birds evolved from dinosaurs.
That's too much for me to think about. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776 on a Monday. Hope everybody is getting home safely. And no, you don't choke your cassowary. That doesn't work. I don't even know how you would do that.
Yeah. It's a damn shame that like everybody feels bad for that guy. And meanwhile, Harambe was murdered just for being Harambe.
I'm team animals in these situations.
Yeah.
Most of the time when you do something like, oh, jump into a lion's cage at the zoo, I'm okay if the lion eats you. If you own exotic birds with dagger-like feet and decide you're going to fall down in front of them.
If you own birds that are known as the most dangerous birds in the world, well.
What'd you expect? Sooner or later, right? You're going to die.
It's gonna get you.
Okay, this other one. It's too good to save, so I'm gonna go ahead and do this one too. Wisconsin, where a man and his mother faced multiple charges. You might be using this in the dumbass report. At a local Walmart.
Okay.
Do you have that one?
I don't have that.
It involved nudity, theft, and karate.
Okay.
When officers arrived at the Walmart, they found 46-year-old Lisa Smith screaming at the entrance, trying to catch her dog, Bo. The woman's son, 25-year-old Benny Van, was also allegedly contributing to the chaos. Trying to figure out what happened, they learned Smith had come into Walmart with her unleashed dog, Bo. While Bo ran up to customers, Smith erratically started pulling apart store displays and placing them in her cart. She was asked to leave by the staff and left the store to perform karate moves in the parking lot. In the meantime, Bo got a box of Jiffy cornbread muffin mix and tried to leave the store. Smith was arrested and fought with officers. She also attempted to kick out a window in the squad car. While this was occurring, Van had made his way to the back of the store, removed all of his clothing, exposing himself to other customers. He retrieved new clothing from the racks, but did not purchase the items. When officers approached him, he refused to stop and attempted to run over an officer with his scooter.
Oh, of course.
Officers physically stopped the scooter and arrested Van. I'm just going to say, I know they haven't tested. The drug tests aren't in yet. Drugs were involved here.
It had to be.
Right? Smith faces charges of disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and misdemeanor bail jumping. Her son was arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior. One of my favorites. Disorderly conduct and retail theft. And they did catch Bo, you'll be glad to know, and he was taken to the Humane Association. Police says the dog was not charged. We issued a warning for the theft.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Poor dog. And I know you were trying to make a choke the chicken joke with your cassowary.
Yeah,
we knew it. It just didn't work. Okay. Jeez, look at the claws on that thing. Lance sent us a picture of it. Lance Ford. But that's why would you own that? I just don't get it. I don't understand people, man.
Yeah. Like, what does it make you feel I don't know if it makes you feel powerful to have animals like that. I don't know. It's like people who keep tigers. It's what you get.
Speaking of Tiger, USA Today ranked all of his majors. Would you like to know the top five?
Sure.
Number five, the 2005 Masters. That's the one where he had that chip in on 16 from off the green that went in, which is one of the most memorable shots in golf history. Number four, see, I think I would have bumped this one a little bit up. 2000 U.S. Open, when he won at Pebble Beach by 15 shots. That was so dominant to watch that it stands out. They have his 2008 U.S. Open, which where he was limping around the course. That was his last one before yesterday, where he beat Rocco Mediate in an 18-hole playoff. Wonder whatever happened to Rocco.
I don't know.
And number two, they have the 2019 Masters, which
is number. What's number one?
The 97 Masters that he won by 12 strokes. Oh. It was his first major.
What's the one where they always show the video of the, and it's like a perfect Nike commercial because you could see the swoosh on the ball where the ball like sits on the rim of the hole and then it drops in.
That was that 2005 one. That was number five. Okay. On the list. Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I always remember that picture, or I guess that video, that shot dropping in is like, I guess it's kind of an iconic thing.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, just walked in. It's about that time.
Oh, the 6 o'clock hour is going to be fun.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm going to tell you about the Kima Craft Beer Fest, and guess who's going to be there? Carbox going to be there, believe it or not. It's Saturday, April 27th from 2 to 5 p.m. Kima Boardwalk and 24 breweries invite you to spend a day sampling over 72 of the finest craft beers from breweries like Carbock, Eighth Wonder, Bell's, Buffalo Bayou, Copperhead, Cigar City, Galveston Island, Oasis, Spindletap, St. Arnold, and Stone. Sierra Nevada, too. It's a great list. There's a bunch more brewers. I just don't have time to read them all to you. Buy advance tickets now, only $44.95 ahead. $39.95 for Landry Select Club members, or if you've got a military ID, they'll be $49.95 day of. Your admission includes beer samples, giveaways from beer vendors, and food samples. There's live music all day. Purchase your tickets online at KimaBeerFest.com or on site at multiple ticket booths at the Kima Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase. Must be 21 years of age to attend. KimaBeerFest.com for the Kima Craft Beer Fest, Saturday, April 27th. That's KimaBeerFest.com.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.